Now, Paul Gilster is no real priest, but he is preaching the science of space travel on his daily web publication, Centauri Dreams. And he is also the lead journalist for the Tau Zero Foundation, a group of volunteers working to make space travel practical in the real world. I got in touch with Paul to help us understand one of the central mysteries of outer space, the question we've all had at some point when looking up at the stars. Are we alone in the big vast universe? Or is there life up there in the stars? And if so, well, why the heck haven't they come calling? That's the question that Paul Gilster calls the Fermi Paradox.
Now, if you go back to 1950 or so, the great Italian physicist Enrico Fermi went out to lunch one day with some of his colleagues, and they were kind of kicking around the notion of other intelligent civilizations and speculating on the fact that there were so many stars, and it didn't seem possible that we were the only one. And they were eating lunch, and somewhere along in lunch, Fermi had kept kind of quiet. He said, look, if these civilizations are out there, why have we found no trace of them yet? And the question goes back to this. If an intelligent civilization started out at some point in the galaxy's history, even if it were moving at a very slow speed, and I'm talking about a small percentage of the speed of light, which we think is ultimately going to be possible someday, even for us, even at that speed, you would still expect that a single civilization could colonize the entire galaxy within, let's say, 10 million years. And 10 million years is just a blink of an eye in terms of how old the galaxy is. Where are these civilizations? And also, if you look at the stars around us, many of these stars are quite a bit older than our own. For example, the nearest stars, the Alpha Centauri triple system, these seem to be about at least 2 billion years older. And so we've got all these ancient stars out there. And if civilizations were common, we would expect, at least Fermi said, wouldn't we expect to see some sign of them?
What are some of the reasons that we might think life is actually very rare in the universe?
Not so long ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe, a book came out called Rare Earth that explored some of this. At the time, what the authors were saying was, look, the Earth has a set of specific conditions. It has in its solar system a great big planet, Jupiter, that has acted as a very helpful deflector of comets and so on, and has kept the inner solar system from getting ravaged by impacts. It also has a large moon, which stabilizes its orbit and its axial tilt. And they went through a whole list of things that they thought made the possibilities of life pretty unlikely, and they thought made the Earth a very unusual place. Now, what we're finding as we start exploring and finding other planets is that so far it looks like Earths are not going to be that rare. The most recent estimates that scientists have given vary widely about how many terrestrial planets there are, planets like Earth. They go from a low of about 50 million up to a high. The highest number I've seen estimated is 45.5 billion. And as we push back boundaries of this knowledge, we're beginning to think, well, maybe the conditions for life aren't all that unusual, at least the kind of places where life could emerge. But we just don't really know if there's some other reason why life might be rare. And if it forms as easily as we think it does, there again the Fermi paradox comes up. Does life form but simply not create intelligence very often? Does life not create technology very often?
Yeah, it sounds like maybe life is common but space travel is not for some reason.
Well, that's my personal favorite. When the Earth was formed, it was, you know, comparatively short time afterwards that the first life forms began to emerge, single-celled life forms. And it really looks as though life is very easy to form. So my gut feeling is that life is going to be found just about everywhere we look, including maybe many different locations in our own solar system. But whether this life ever, or very, very often, becomes intelligent and tool-building and technology-building is another matter. And it could be that that's the rare part. Maybe intelligent civilizations are rare. And I speculate it's a very small number in our galaxy, maybe as few as 10. But I suspect they're out there.
Well, if the Earth is special and intelligent technology building civilizations are rare, do you think that humans will make it to the point where we can travel between stars or between planets?
Yeah, it's another good question. Let me put it this way. Back in the 1960s, a very smart physicist named Robert Forward was studying all this stuff. And he said, look, you know, we've always thought that travel to the stars would be impossible because you can't go faster than light. But he said, there are ways we could do this at a much slower speed. I mean, if we could travel at one-tenth the speed of light, and that's not forbidden at all by the laws of physics, then we could get to the nearest stars in 4 decades.
Hmm.
So we began to speculate that if we advance enough to get to the point where we can create these kind of technologies, and that might be a couple of centuries away, then yes, we'll manage it. And I'm very hopeful that we will. But of course the question is, and another answer to the Fermi paradox is, what if intelligent civilizations usually wind up at some point destroying themselves through war or through experiments or through some kind of ungodly terrorism or whatever. Maybe that's the reason we don't see intelligence in the universe, because they're blowing themselves up. So we can't really project. Is there a straight road ahead where we're going to keep developing? If so, then yes, I think we get to the stars eventually. I suspect within several centuries. If it's going to be dangerous and we still got lots of nuclear weapons and all kinds of ways to damage ourselves, then it may not occur.
Well, Paul, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And it has been a pleasure talking to you, Trevor. Many thanks. Call me anytime.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye.